Pastor James Cadiz on being doers of the word in every area of life.
You understand it's a life from the pit of hell when a pastor tells you all I want to do is preach the gospel, and they do that under the auspice of actually saying that they don't get in politics because all they want to do is preach the gospel. There is no bigger lie than to hear that statement, because the reality of it is they have fundamentally demonstrated to you that they do not understand the gospel, because the gospel involves bringing the good news of Christ in every sphere of influence. And no, I'm not a dominionist. But what I am saying is there is no area in our life that we should void ourselves from being doers of the word. We bring it into the political arena. We bring it into the private life. We bring it into the public life. We bring it into everywhere we go.
I have found that peace only comes from you. I have found that joy only comes from you. Cause all I need is you.
Welcome to Light on the Hill, online at lightonthehillradio.com. Our teacher, Pastor James Cadiz, is in the book of James. In chapter 1, we're reminded of the danger of being hearers only and not doers of the word. Pastor James encourages us now to put the word into practice in all aspects of life and ministry.
Verse 22, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Woo! What does he mean when he says that? First of all, you don't get to second base without getting the first. First base is be quick to listen, slow to speak, don't allow the anger to overwhelm you, remove the filth from your life, allow it to be filled with the word of God, and when you have done that, put the very word of God that you hear into action. Now, this is where it's going to be controversial to some. And I know it won't be controversial to you because you go to this church. But it is amazing to me how many people, in the name of what they call preaching the gospel, which is a lie, how many people, in the name of being spiritual or Christ-like or Christian, will continue to be hearers of the word but not doers. What do they tell you? You have no business being in politics, Pastor. I heard that. I hear it every day. You have no business being in politics, okay? Answer this question. What other part of my life do you want me to compartmentalize from the Lord? I'm not allowed to bring the Lord into politics. What else am I not allowed to bring the Lord into? Am I not allowed to bring the Lord into schools so that we can let the drag queens teach our children? Am I not allowed to bring the Lord into anything? Maybe I should leave the Lord out of my wallet too. No, seriously. Maybe I should leave the Lord out of my wallet and spend my money in places that continue to hate our God. Let's go buy season tickets to the Dodgers, right? We're not allowing ourselves to, be influenced by that, because there's certain places where we have no business talking. You understand that's a lie from the pit of hell? You understand that? You understand it's a lie from the pit of hell when a pastor tells you all I want to do is preach the gospel, and they do that under the auspice of actually saying that they don't get in politics because all they want to do is preach the gospel? There is no bigger lie than to hear that statement, because the reality of it is they have fundamentally demonstrated to you that they do not understand the gospel. Because the gospel involves bringing the good news of Christ in every sphere of influence. And no, I'm not a dominionist. But what I am saying is there is no area in our life that we should void ourselves from being doers of the word. We bring it into the political arena. We bring it into the private life. We bring it into the public life. We bring it into everywhere we go. If I'm going to take God into the inner and most deepest part of my thought life, how much more should I be taking God everywhere else? He's saying a person that hears the word and doesn't do it is like the guy who walks in front of the mirror, sees all kinds of detailed pictures of what they look like, and 5 minutes later forget what their image of them looks like. They spend hours in front of a mirror. They get a picture handed to them. Oh, who's the guy in that picture? Bro, that's you. They don't know. Why? Because they've allowed themselves to be so hard-hearted that they will not take a moment to examine what is real. Hearing the word is not just the issue. It's practicing it. I've heard guys like Eric Metaxas say things that I don't agree with. Eric's a friend of mine. I've heard him say things that I would argue with him are not necessarily the most biblical thing. But why is it that I would still call a man like that a hero? Not just a hero, but a national treasure. A man who loves Jesus. He's not a pastor. He's subjecting himself to ridicule, anger, hurt, pain, suffering, people threatening his life to basically communicate the message that what happened in Nazi Germany took place because the Christians allow it to happen. That what's taking place in this country right now is a direct result of Christians allowing that evil to take place. Now, some of you might say, well, James, we know what it's going to be like in the end days. The Bible says that in the days of Noah, you know, in the last days, it'll be as the days of Noah, as the days of Lot. So why don't we just let it all burn? Okay, you do me a favor. Go into your private prayer closet, and when you have a chance, go flip God off. Do it. That sounds harsh, but that's exactly what you're doing. You're saying, God, I'm going to listen to your word, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to obey. You want to rebel against God? That's fine. That's what the Bible tells us, guys. You understand that? We are being given instruction in his word, and to not do that instruction is detrimental. To not do those things. And then it's not like James changes the subject here. He's building upon the principle that he just shared with us. By the way, I will tell you this. How many of you, with a quick show of hands, have heard somebody say, and if you go to Calvary Chapel, you've gone to Calvary Chapel for any length of time, you've probably heard this phrase, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. How many of you have heard that? Raise your hand, okay? You know that that's unbiblical, right? Like, you understand that that's not true, right? Christianity is a religion of relationship. Religion is a biblical term. Religion is a biblically appropriate term. Look at what James says, because it goes with everything he has just told us. This is not like some weird out of place statement. James then tells us, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. You know, you want to call yourself a religious person, but you don't live consistently that way, and you allow yourself to be unmitigated and uncontrolled in your actions, your religion is not really the right religion. Your religion is being practiced in vain. What does religion mean? Religion means a function of habit, right? When you're religious about something, it means you are habitually pursuing it. Look at his definition of what pure religion is. And it looks like it's out of place, but I'm going to put it all together for you here. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself, what? Unspotted from the world. A lot of people look at this last verse and think it's completely out of context and out of character with everything that James just told us. So let's rehearse through it quickly, okay? Let's go through the water issue, right? The underlying issue, right? Let's talk about the area that floats everything. James tells us, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Anger doesn't produce righteousness. And then he tells us to walk away from evil, to throw away the excess of unrighteousness, literally walk away from it all, and make a commitment to the word of God. Then he takes it a step further. And he says, not only do I want you to make a commitment to the word of God after you have abandoned evil, I want you to practice it with your actions. I don't want you to just listen to it. I want you to practice it. By the way, why does he say hear the word of God? The reason why he said hear the word of God was because 99.999% of the people that he was addressing in this letter were illiterate. Okay, just so you understand that. So when the word of God was being given to them, it was being given through a reading. So they would sit and they would listen to the word of God, and that's why it says what it says. That's why he says hearing the word of God. For us, it's reading, hearing, you know, whatever. The whole idea is it's taking in the word of God. So he says, after you have heard the word of God being given to you, the expectation is that you act on it. You function according to what the word of God tells you. You cannot sit there and watch the building burn. The cowardly woke Christian will say, look at all the things that are going on. The building is burning. And you know what they'll do? They'll run for the exit. That's what they do. And then they'll stand outside the structure and praise God while it's coming to the ground. The believer will say, no, we're going to prevent the building from burning. We're going to fight this because the word of God has given me the tool to be able to extinguish the flame of destruction. So I am going to stand in the place that might not be comfortable, but I'm going to fight it. I'm going to do the very things that are not easy because that's what the word of God called me to do. So then he just described the person that allows anger to settle in and walks in the flesh and doesn't hear the word of God. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. What does that mean? Well, bridleth his own tongue goes right back to the first part of this where he said, be slow to speak. If he doesn't bridle his own tongue, matter of fact, he's quick to speak, then the resulting issue is that his heart will be corrupted. So if he chooses to speak and he allows his heart to become corrupt, this man's religion is in vain. If he opens and runs his mouth, he doesn't listen to the word of God being communicated, and he doesn't act upon those things, his religion is fake. He can call himself Christian all he wants. He can say, I preach the gospel till he's blue in the face. But the reality of it is, he's a hater and an enemy of God. I've shared this before. Story of a man who's an active board member at a church in California who was handing flyers out to people in his church, begging people to vote no on Prop 1. The pastor, who continues to say we're all about preaching the gospel, told his board member, don't ever do that again. Don't ever hand those documents out to anybody again. That pastor's religion is in vain. He should quit the ministry. Because what has he allowed himself to do in order to facilitate the comfortable state of mind that he wants to maintain? It is now upon his back and the blood on his hands to see the death of the future. He claims to champion black people, right? Yet they're the first victims of abortion. We'll just leave that alone. What a hypocrite. It's a liar. His religion is in vain. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to do what? Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and do what? Keep himself unspotted from the world. What's the least rewarding thing you can do in this world if you could think about it? If there was anything you could do to put your faith in action that you would really not get much out of if you think about it from the world's perspective, helping a needy widow, that might be a good picture, right? What are you going to get out of a needy widow who doesn't have any income, doesn't have anything to bring to the table to you, especially in those days? Or going to a place that might not necessarily be a desirable place to go, to visit the fatherless. You know how hard it is to minister to the fatherless? When children don't have a father, they act out. That's where the real work takes place, right? When you take on children that do not have a father and you become their father, do you understand the labor of love that's involved in that? Do you understand the work that is involved in taking that child that at one point never had a father and saying, I am going to be your father and I am going to give you the love that you have always deserved, because God placed it upon my heart to bring you into my family, to adopt you into my family, and to be the father that God has always called you to have. Let me tell you what you get out of that. You oftentimes get heartache out of that. Your wallet gets emptied all the time. There's so many things that happen that you would not consider to be anything that's valuable or easy. But you do it because your religion is pure. You do it because your Father in heaven adopted you when you were an orphan without a father. You are now going to heaven and inheriting everything that you could never have on your own. And your religion is expressed in hearing that God has done that for you and now going and doing it for others. This verse is not some weird verse that's out of context, okay? This is a verse that is saying, when you have heard what God has done for you, you now take that very word and you put it into practice. You bring it to life. Then the last part that he says is what? To keep himself what? Unspotted from the world. You can be as religious as you want. In some cases, you can go out, you can do all the spiritual things. But the very moment you allow the world to influence you, the very moment you allow the culture to become the trendsetter for the way you live, the very moment you allow the influence of this world to direct what your next step is, guess what? Your religion is in vain. Look, I'm going to just close with this thought because this is important. We are living in a world today where, as believers, we are the only ones that understand this. Real believers. We are the only ones that understand the cost associated with the adoption that has taken place of us in the heavenly. We're the only ones that understand the place that we were in and the place that we're now going. We're the ones that understand where God has delivered us from and the promise of where we are going. But there is a satanic movement going on right now, even amongst people in the church that are being inspired to go back to the place that God adopted them away from. I am sick and tired of sitting at tables with pastors that are drinking, especially pastors that were delivered from that habit, only to go back to it because they've allowed the world to spot them. I am tired of sitting in the midst of men who claim to be representers and teachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who line themselves up with the ideals and the philosophies in the heart of the world, only to think that somehow and in some way they're going to be effective in their witness by embracing evil. When are we going to take a stand? When are we going to stop for one moment and recognize, I have no desire to go back to the place where God delivered me from? When are we going to realize as Christians that pure religion for us is to reach out to the most vulnerable and yet at the same time becoming the most vulnerable in not allowing ourselves to be spotted by the world and to actually spot the world by our lives? When are we going to be the trendsetters? When are we going to affect the culture? I'm dying to know. Look, I don't know about you, but the days are getting very clearly darker. They are. Make no mistake about it. The way I know the days are getting darker is I'm watching righteous men, or men that call themselves righteous or associate themselves with righteousness, doing dark, evil things. There's a falling away that's happening. There's a capitulation to darkness and evil. And it's coming back to one very important issue. And that is the blatant disregard of the fundamentals that God has given us to follow. And the result leaves a wake of devastation that is beyond our functional or relational capacity, for that matter, to be able to discern or understand. It's time for us to open up our eyes and to live a religion that is undefiled, that reaches out to the most vulnerable, yet while at the same time becoming unspotted by the world. Let's look at what's really happening, folks, and let's never be apologetic about proclaiming the truth. Because if we are hearers of the word and we are not doers, what we do is in vain. It never works. It's time to open up our eyes and to live a life that becomes unaffected by the darkness of this world and is inspired by the righteousness of it, of God, of the kingdom of heaven, of his word. We are not of this world, but while we're in it, it's time to make a difference until the Lord calls us home. Whether we're raptured or whether our lives are taken, either way, the call is to remain consistent, walking away from evil, embracing the word of God, and then acting on it.
We're going through the book of James with Pastor James Cadiz here on Light on the Hill. Hear this message again at lightonthehillradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. They're also available through the Light on the Hill app. Pastor James, you were speaking about being doers of the word in every area of life, including politics. As you know, society is heating up in a critical election year. How can we as Christians get involved and stand up for righteousness and be doers of the word in this area?
Okay, so this is a great question, Jane, and one that oftentimes should be asked on a regular basis, but unfortunately it's not, because there's a lot of people who are in leadership that are either uneducated or extraordinarily cowardly. The funny thing about it is the people that say, I don't want to get involved in politics, are actually more political than I will ever be for a lot of different reasons. With all that said, let me just simply say this. If you are going to refuse to bring the word of God into the political arena, then my question to you is this. What other areas in my life should I compartmentalize away from the things of God? The reality of it is politics emanates from the pulpit, and whatever we allow happening from the pulpit will bring and usher into the next political arena. So the reality of it is we have an obligation to take our biblical worldview and our beliefs into the political world, and we must hold our leaders accountable. We should absolutely get involved. We should absolutely be aggressive in how we make those representations, and we should never apologize for speaking vividly and aptly concerning political issues. I do this all the time from the pulpit, and I don't care what the IRS says I can or cannot do, because oftentimes what they think I can or cannot do is not based on what's legal. So the reality of it is I'm more concerned about what God thinks, and we should all think on that level, because the truth is the truth.
Amen. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer as we close.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. And we pray, God, that you would give us that heart, that desire, Lord, and that ability to want to do that, Lord, that we would act upon your very word as it's given to us and spoken to us, Lord. Father, one thing is is true, you're faithful, and you are good. And we love you, God. We thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your righteousness. Go before us, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Keep us looking to and seeking you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Judgment is coming. Are you guilty? We'll consider that question next time on Light on the Hill as Pastor James Cadiz begins chapter 2 in James. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Signal Hill.
I have found that peace only comes from you. I have found that joy only comes from you. 'Cause all I need is